Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 85 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here for the final time in the 2023-2024 season to recap Verona-Inter, which finishes 2-2, a draw, goals from Marko Arnautović in the 10th, Tijani Noslin in the 16th, Suslov in the 37th, and Arnautović again in the 45th or 46th minute. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. Johnny, what is this game? Is this the Arnautović stat padding game? Is this the how the hell did Fratesi not score game? Is this the why wasn't Buchanan starting game? Is this the why the hell did Cuadrado get a send-off game? How do you interpret this game that was ultimately meaningless for both teams?
Dude, I don't even know if I would call it a stat padding game. You know, I wouldn't do that to Arnautović because he's actually much better than Sanchez in my book. I know that's going to rub people the wrong way. Yeah, you know what? Let's call it the why wasn't Buchanan starting game, because you saw immediately what he was able to do when he gets on the pitch, what he's able to bring to this team with his pace, his dribbling ability. Still needs to work on his crossing and stuff like that, but it just would have been nice to give him a start. Like, why? Like you said, this game meant nothing. I didn't understand it. Why did Cuadrado get a send-off game? I don't know. Why did he not shoot faster on that one opportunity he had on the edge of the six or the, you know, whatever? I don't get it. And then why didn't he give a better cross? He had Fratesi sprinting in the middle. I mean, just thank goodness we're done with him, right? Because I never want to see him again.
I'm surprised Klaassen didn't get the love there. Yeah. I mean, the way that the coaches talked about him in training and stuff like that, I'm surprised it was Cuadrado.
I guess they figured his haircut was enough of a send off for him.
Right.
You know?
Right. A successful stint. If you leave Milano with all your hair, more hair, that's a pretty successful run. Also, the Di Gennaro debut game.
Yeah.
He was good.
He was pretty good.
What the hell was that?
I mean, he made some big saves. I did not know I really thought that he would be a mess. And, dude, you could actually say he might have been better than Badelli, who was a backup for us. You know, I felt more comfortable with him back there than I did with Badelli, which is kind of funny.
Did the thought cross your mind that he might have been a better option than Audero? I know it's such a small sample size, but
did it cross my mind? Absolutely. You know, like I'm not a fan of Audero either. Like he's another guy. And the goals that he gave up, listen, I won't blame him. You know, it looked like the defense was sleeping, but like you would expect a goalkeeper to make at least one of those saves. One of them, he actually dove away from with his hands, like his legs were there, but I don't think he was going to make an outstretched, you know, toe save like they do in hockey. But yeah, I'm glad the rumors are already starting about what goalkeeper we're going after now, because Audero back there, no thanks.
That was, I thought it was super interesting the way that he embraced everyone when he got subbed out. It looked like goodbye, which I feel good about because I don't know how much.
They're not paying $7 million. They're not paying $7 million for Audero. If we didn't pay $7 million for Belanova, we're not paying $7 million for Audero.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It did look like goodbye, which is, you know, obviously I don't think that there's a lot of discussion about the transfer market with the staff that's on the bench. You know, obviously Inzaghi is probably involved in those, but it did seem like they know that he's not going to be part of the team, and he knows that he's not going to be part of the team. So that could be one of the positives to take away from, you know, from the end of the season. This game was more fun than it had any right to be. It was very interesting to see the like discussion on Twitter, like people still getting annoyed with some of the miscues and misplays and stuff, which at that point, like, you know, they don't really care. Or it's hard to get super motivated for that game, but the game ended up being like very watchable, very, very fun. It was nice that there was back and forth, and Verona definitely created a lot of chances, which I think, you know, they both sort of opened up and let each other attack, which was ended up being way more fun than I thought it was going to be.
You know, that was, I think from an entertainment standpoint, that was a really good game. I think, you know, like you said, we had nothing to play for. It wasn't going to change anything for us. It wasn't going to change anything for them. I think more so for them, they just wanted to finally win. I think they only, if I'm not mistaken, I heard they've had only 4 wins in like 69 matches against us. So yeah. I'm sure they probably wanted to go ahead and try to get all 3 points in that one, which, listen, I got to give credit to Barone, because that team, the way it was decimated, I didn't know anybody really. And some of those players, they actually looked pretty good, man. Like, I was actually a big fan of that kid Mitrovic, who I thought could, you know, I could see him being another Ilic like they had before they sold him to Torino. And the guy who scored the second goal,
Suslov.
Was it Suslov? Okay, maybe Suslov. It was the first one then that I'm Noslin. Thinking of.
I was looking him up today because I think he's been really, really impressive. 5 goals in, I think, 17 appearances with Verona, which is tough.
That kid looks like there could be a player there. And if I'm like, let's say, I mean, Bologna, who are probably going to lose some players, that might be a guy I would try to poach from Verona before his price tag gets way too high. Because pace, dribbling. I thought his vision with his passing was good. He was all over the place on the pitch, really, left side, right side, dropping back in to receive the ball. That was a good kid for sure.
So I was interested after getting the up close look. I mean, I've seen him, but after getting the up close look against Inter, I was interested in him, and I did some research, and a player coach that was in his life that coincided with the turnaround in his career, Wesley Schneider. He had he got cut from, I don't know, one of the lower level Dutch teams, and he ended up playing on a team that Schneider was involved with the coaching staff, and then his career took off from there. So it all comes back to Inter. It all comes back to Inter. I wonder if they've talked about it. You know, maybe he joins the team one day.
You never know.
You never know. All right, let's get into this this game a little bit. As far as an agenda for today, you tell me if this works for you. We'll talk about this game quickly. There's obviously some interesting things that happened here. Let's not do a season review today. I think that requires a little bit of a larger episode. So we'll give our grades for the season, because we saw some grades coming out yesterday from some Inter content creators that I thought were super interesting. So we can go ahead and give our grades. And then let's talk a little bit about the Lautaro situation in more depth, because there is a lot of discussion on Twitter, especially today, about how things are shaking out with Lautaro. So does that work for you?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the goal. Inter takes the lead. There's a rushed clearance from one of the Verona defenders. It gets to Bisek, nods it forward into the penalty area. Definitely misplayed by the Verona defenders. I think it was Coppola or Ciao, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Arnautovic gets in behind and puts a pretty good finish past the goalkeeper. Good to see Arnautovic just being alive and aware near the penalty box. I think there's been a lot of opportunities that have fallen to him this year that he hasn't done the best with. So that was just like a good example of a good striker, like just, you know, capitalizing on some miscommunication, being in the right position. And that finish was, you know, outside of the boot, pretty nice finish.
Listen, you guys know how I felt about Arnautovic all season, how I felt about him coming back. I'm happy he was able to get on the score sheet. I did think it was a nice finish, good movement. And we could talk about it, you know, more as we go into this match. But I thought his link-up play was fantastic. Big ups to him. If this is his last match in Inter colors, I think he went out the right way. So
there was a lot of like flick-ons, back passes, creativity,
which I loved.
Yeah, I know it was a low pressure game, but it's one of those things where you see him and you kind of get what Inter was thinking, bringing him in, that he could have been better. Obviously, injuries and then low confidence sort of destroyed what could have been his season at Inter. But I guess before we get into the rest of this game, why don't I ask if Arnautovic is the fourth striker on this team next year? Let's call it Lauti, Thuram, Taremi, Arnautovic, and then maybe either a low-cost option or a kid. How do you feel about that scenario as opposed to him maybe being the fifth and a Goodmanson coming in as the third or fourth?
I mean, listen, I'm okay with him being the fourth. You know, I think with his limited roles and his limited starting and maybe like the really rare chance that he would be starting, I'd be fine with it. I'm not as big of a Arnautovic hater as some Inter fans are. He's someone that I think, like we saw yesterday, he's got creativity in his game. He's got an ability to be able to move with the ball, without the ball. He's good at passing. I mean, he's great in the air. We saw how he scored against us to kind of knock us out of winning a title that Milan ended up winning. So I'm fine with him being a fourth. I didn't think my problem with him this whole time was the price tag associated with him. 10 million was way too rich, way too much for a player of that caliber. I didn't think he was ever going to live up to that price tag. But we saw he had 10 goal contributions in all comps. Like, I think we predicted like 15 we'd be happy, which, yeah, all right. So it's only 2/3 of the way there. But he also was injured part of the season. He didn't play, you know, as much as we may have thought he would have been playing or played. So if he's a fourth option, I'm okay with it. I'm happier if he's a fifth. But as long as it's not Sanchez anymore, I'm happy. That's where I'm at.
And it's also interesting, like you mentioned, the 15 goal contributions that we were talking about. And I think we're like, you know, we were earlier on the Arnautovic agenda train and kind of tried to support him throughout the year. But the fact of the matter is like, 15 goal contributions, he got in position to get to that number. He had some bad misses. But he played well enough. There were a couple games where it was fucking terrible, but there were also a lot of games where he didn't end up on the score sheet, but he was in the right position and he just like, it was a confidence thing that he wasn't putting it away. So yeah, even in a meaningless game, it is good to see a player who is likely going to be on the team next year, gain a little confidence, hopefully has a healthy summer and, you know, goes into the season next year where there's a lot less pressure on him with Taremi coming in, like to really be the guy off the bench and even to spell the starters. If there's a lot less pressure, hopefully he can really show what he's about and what he can bring to the team. All right, 6 minutes after Arnautovic opens the scoring, Verona gets on the score sheet. Bad giveaway from Bisek, who I thought wasn't really in it today. Suslov plays in. Noslin like skips the, splits the defenders, I meant to say, through the lines for Noslin. Beats Aldero with a first-time finish. For me, that was just like, the guys fell asleep. That's not a goal that you typically see against Inter. It was a little uncharacteristic of what we typically see, but you know, we got beaten. Aldero's in net. I don't know if that would have happened with our top guys, Pavard, Acerbi, and Bastoni back there, but it is what it is.
I don't know if I'm going to keep calling Acerbi a top guy though. I mean, he had a pretty stinker of a year, but yeah, it is what it is with that. I just think the guys were out there having a kick around. I'm not looking too much into it. We've seen what Bisek's been able to do all season. I think this was just a lapse in focus more so than anything.
Yeah, would agree. A couple minutes later, crazy save from Perilli, long ball over the top from Augusto, gets a Fratesi, plays it across the ball, across the box for Thuram, takes a touch, fires a shot that's redirected by one of the Verona defenders into, like, almost looked like it was going to get past Perilli, but he managed to adjust his positioning and tip it over the crossbar. Their goalkeeper was phenomenal yesterday. Could have been like 4-3 goals from Inter, but he really did a good job at cutting things down. Let's see what's the next big thing that happens. I guess in the 37th minute, that's when Verona takes the lead. Barella, bad giveaway again, just trying to get too cute around our 18 yard box. Noslin gets inside the penalty area, plays the ball across for Suslov, who hit a nice left-footed finish past Audero. You mentioned it earlier, there's a couple good, interesting prospects on Verona, and the 21-year-old Suslov is one of them. It was a really good finish.
Yeah, beautiful finish. I mean,
had an XG of 0.15.
Wow.
Pretty good.
I would not have guessed that, to be quite honest, but yeah, very impressive the way he was able to finish that and even get it with his left foot. I'm pretty sure they said like he's a right footed. I'm a fan of what Hellas is doing. I think that they've done, like, that's what's really impressive. You know, bringing in this amount of young unheralded talent, really, to be able to perform the way they have. It's pretty awesome, and the way that they were able to like get together as a group and be successful, awesome. You know what we did not cover? I mean, it happened before the Suslov goal. The setup of the opportunity for Fratesi on the header, the quick inner play there with the pass,
yep.
Flick from Arnautović to Turam's head, which gets then headed by Fratesi, where, you know, a huge save is made on him and pretty much did rob him of a goal. And that's the one. But
there's nothing like unheralded goalkeepers having the games of their lives against Inter. Happens
more
several
often
times a season.
You know, I'm looking at the Suslov goal again. I mean, Bisek opens up so wide to try to block it that he basically is able to go between his legs, and then I don't know who's at the top. It might have been Mitrovic. Yeah, Mitrovic is like yelling for the ball before the shot gets taken by Suslov. And Hellas. Listen, Hellas came to play.
Yeah, they respect. Wanted to have. They want. They didn't. They weren't there for a run out. They were trying to have.
I respect it.
A good game.
I respect their fans, but I respect the way their team played.
They were trying to have a good game in front of the fans. The Thuram challenge in the penalty area, he ends up like holding his knee for a while. Looked like it could have been a problem, but ended up being nothing. Did you see anything in that? Was that just, you know, shoulder to shoulder?
To me, shoulder to shoulder. I don't see anything in that at all.
No controversy.
None. I would not have. Yeah.
Beautiful goal. In the 46th minute, Barella plays a pass into the penalty area that Fratesi meets with his chest, perfectly chested down into Arnautović, who smashes home a goal. Really good to see that even, again, in a game that doesn't really matter, that they can pull out the quality like that. Quality from all three of them. Barella for the pass. Fratesi for, you know, being able to chest it into Arnautović's path, and then a great, great finish for Arnautović's second goal of the game.
I was so happy for him. And even though he didn't look, he was too excited when he was celebrating the goal, I was very happy for him to get that second goal, his first brace in Inter colors. Huge for us. Obviously, we were losing the game 2-1, so to be able to equalize there right at the stroke of halftime, massive. And yeah, like you said, amazing ball over the top by Barella, arguably the best midfielder in the world. Actually, that's just me that says that. But I do got to give credit to Fratesi there, of course, as well, with chesting it down instead of trying to take it on himself and maybe, you know, have a poor opportunity to have the wherewithal and even just the recognition of Arnautovic being there to be able to chest it to him perfectly the way he did and set him up for the goal. Hats off to Fratesi. I've been a little, I know I've been a little harsh on him this season, but.
How are you feeling? What's, let's do a stock up, stock down. Heading into 2024-2025 season, where are you with Fratesi? Stock up or stock down?
No, stock up, man. Yeah, the stock's, you know, I won't be buying any because, you know, it's already going up. You know, I should have bought it while it was
right,
low.
Right, bought while it was low. Exactly. Yeah.
But no, but he is going up. Honestly, I don't think there's a guy currently on the team where I would say stock is down. Maybe unless Acerbi gets a renewal. Acerbi, if he gets a renewal, stock is down. I don't think that he should be renewed personally. You see the decline. You see how drastic the decline is, and that could be costly for us in the Scudetto race. I don't think it'll be costly for us in Europe because I think that we could take anybody in Europe. But over the course of a 38-game season, you know, I think a lot of things can happen. And we saw it. Listen, we lost. Our only two losses were to a team that's relegated. That's insane. You know, so I think that if you have an opportunity to strengthen the back line, I think that's something that should be looked into. Whether it's someone on a free or if we can get someone in on a cheap. Yeah.
A free like Varane or a Buongiorno. I'm not on the Varane train, by the way.
I'm not on the Varane train either. I know Neem is trying to peddle that, but.
Yeah, I'm not about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sorry, Neem. I think you're the only one in that caboose.
There's a few. I've seen a few. But
yeah, but I don't take everyone seriously.
I don't think you should. I don't think you should, especially on social media. All right, 56-minute triple substitution. Juan Cuadrado comes in for Denzel Dumfries. Okay. Tejon Buchanan on the left.
Okay. Yeah.
For
like,
Fede Di Marco. And this was interesting. Alexis for Arnautovic. I thought maybe you keep Arna out there for a final run out, take off Thuram.
Well, let him go for the hat trick.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I think he would have finished some of those opportunities that Alexis missed.
What's the thinking there? Is it like we're still in this game to win it? Let's make sure we have one.
I don't know what the thinking is. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So Alexis comes on. Of the three of them, Alexis and Cuadrado are there for the final time, playing their last few minutes in an Inter jersey. Crazy double save from Perilli again. Sanchez plays in Buchanan. Low first time cross is met by Sanchez. It's blocked. Somehow gets through Fratesi. Another
blocked
attempt
again.
Blocked. And yes, another goalkeeper doing what he does. Let's see. Okay, substitutions in the 68th minute. Aslani comes in for Barella. Interesting because that shoots Hakan out to Metsala, which was fun to see Chala the Metsala back in it again. And he was great in that role. I mean, the guy is just a fantastic, fantastic midfielder. Di Gennaro comes in for Audero. And Di Gennaro, a player who's been with the youth academy for his whole career, makes his first appearance for the club at 30 years of age. Terrific to see him do that. 70th minute, short corner routine for Inter, ends with Calhanoglu. Blasts it from 24 yards out. Perilli again tips it over the crossbar. Buchanan, strike in the 72nd. Oh, no, sorry. That's a lie. Suslov's in-swinging corner is brought down by Serdar. Serdar hits a strike. That was the Di Gennaro, the first save. That was pretty hype for him to get to that. Where is the mayhem inside the penalty area? Here we go. 85th minute, mayhem inside the penalty area. Thuram puts in an awesome cross to the far post. Didn't know he had that in his locker, but that was a fantastic left-footed cross. Gets knocked down by Alexis. Fratesi flicks it over the goalkeeper. And of course, a Verona defender manages to get to it on the line, kicks it straight up in the air, cleared off of the crossbar. That it was at that point that you knew that it was over. There's nothing more for Inter in this game, no matter how hard they tried. We were not going to get that that third goal.
Yeah, no. Once that ball got like deflected off the crossbar and didn't go in, same thing. Yeah, I was like, well, we had a good time. At least we didn't lose, and that's kind of where I was at.
And of course, in the 92nd minute, the perfect ending to Inter season. Aslani launches a ball over the top for Sanchez, brings it down nicely. Lobbies over the goalkeeper, does not stand because it is offside. The perfect way to end Pazza Inter season. And that's it. Inter finishes the Serie A on, how many points was this? Let's see. 94 points, a plus 67 goal differential, 89 goals scored throughout the season, 22 conceded, 29 wins, 7 draws, 2 losses to Sassuolo, and that's the end of the season. It is the largest gap between a first and second place team in a long time, I'm gonna say, because I'm forgetting exactly how long it's been. But all right, let's give our grade. Let's give our grade. Hold on, biggest gap between Scudetto. Okay, the biggest gap in history was plus 22 in 2006-2007, Inter over Roma. So this is the second biggest gap in history to second place, plus 19. All right, let's give this grade. So coming into the season, objective, second star.
Mm-hmm.
Qualify past the group stages of the Champions League. Not sure what else. I think from a monetary perspective, winning as many cups as possible plus a deep Champions League run helps put the money in your pocket. Ultimately, that did not happen as far as the Champions League and the Coppa Italia are concerned. They did win the Supercoppa, which brought in about 8 million. And they did wrap up the Serie A title with 5 games to go. So, Johnny, I'll kick it over to you. Let's do, how do you want to grade, 1 to 10, or do you want to do letter grades?
Let's do 1 to 10 just for our poor European listeners who don't aren't familiar with letter grades.
Yeah. We'll try to start converting as the Oak Tree ownership continues, but for now we'll do 1 to 10. Where are you at with this?
This is tough. And I think it's only because of what we're seeing in the Champions League and who's in the final and where I think we would have been. I'd have to go like an 8.1. Only reason it's not any higher. Like, had we gotten past Atletico, I think we get past Borussia Dortmund, and then I think we get past, I don't even remember who they take out in the semifinals.
Dortmund took out Atletico.
Is it Arsenal?
No. In the semifinals, Arsenal.
Is that, I don't even, you know what? I'm sorry. If I'm wrong, guys, forgive me. I really stopped paying attention.
No, wait. Who was it? PSG.
PSG, you're right.
PSG, yeah.
Because Real Madrid took out Man City.
Yes.
There we go. Okay, now we got to it.
Took a second.
And I think we would have had no problem with PSG anyway. You know, I think that would have been, I really do think we would be in the final had it not been for us choking in on penalties. Really choking in the last, like, what, 4 minutes, 5 minutes when Atletico was able to equalize on aggregate. But yeah, 8.1, it would have been higher even if we got to a semifinal. You know, like I just think we had the team to go have a deeper run. We all know that the focus was the second star. That was the objective from the beginning of the season. If you want to look at it from that perspective, where we just take only the objective, which, yes, we achieved that, and then getting the Supercoppa was nice, and then you get an extra 8 million euros for that, that's nice. You could maybe go a little bit higher, but I'm also including the fact that I, as a fan, still expected more in the Champions League, and I just thought we had a better team than we did even last season. So it's a shame we didn't get a deeper run.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go with 9 for two reasons. One, the magnitude. It's not just a Scudetto win. It's a Scudetto win to get the second star over your rivals, against your rivals, you know, with 5 match days to go. Lautaro getting the capocannoniere. Like, just overall, one of the most emotional, incredible seasons that you could have. So it's not just a regular Scudetto win. It feels like, you know, a little bit more weight to it. As far as the UCL is concerned, definite disappointment, because I think we are the better team than Atletico Madrid. It's also a big disappointment because we had the opportunities to put that tie away. I think we could have scored 5-6 goals over those two legs, and we just didn't have it right. Also, the disappointment of going out on penalty shootouts, where we were just basically incompetent in that shootout. I think you also have to factor in the fact that the Mercato was completely fucked from Lukaku. As far as plans in the attack were concerned, because you would imagine that Dzeko would have been re-signed earlier if they knew that Lukaku was going to pull what he was going to pull. You end up with Arnautovic and Alexis, and that's not really the depth that you want. Luckily, Lautaro and Thuram were able to stay healthy and shoulder for the season. But it also, you know, it helps define what objectives are for next season as far as like concerns up top are, because they already brought in Taremi. They know they need to have different options other than Lauti and Thuram to go to next season. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give it a 9. A lot of emotions around this season. I'll read off 2 other grades from Interisti. Nima gave it an 8. He says, didn't win a winnable UCL group. Should have gotten minimum to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, minimum semifinal of the Coppa Italia. And the main reason Inter failed to hit these targets was the lack of depth and attack. Sanchez and Arnautovic were our gigantic flops. I don't think that's necessarily the wrong interpretation. What do you think about Nima's grade?
Yeah, no, I would have to agree with it. You know, I think he kind of said a lot of things that were spot on. And I think the only thing I would disagree with is the harshness for Arnautovic, but that's because I'm a treble romanticist. So maybe that's my weakness. I'm a little too lenient on Marco for my memories I have of him from when I was much younger and got to experience something truly incredible that year. So
he's won multiple Scudetto. But at the same time, you can't even say that because so is Alexis.
Yeah, they brought
multiple Scudetti with Inter.
Whatever.
it's tough. There's different feelings.
No, but like I agree with the score, honestly. And you know, take the sentiment out of it. He's not wrong about anything he said. And he said quarterfinals. I said semifinals. I really don't think we would have had an issue getting to the semis. Personally, I don't think
with the way the bracket was.
I didn't see it being an issue. And to be honest, I think that Simone would have embarrassed Luis Enrique and PSG had he had the opportunity to get there. I really do.
Would have loved to seen that.
It's a shame.
Martin Milton Nielsen, a Danish Inter fan who's pretty active on Twitter, gives it a 9 out of 10. Says, obviously the Champions League and Copa exits pulls down a little bit, but the league was the priority. And in my opinion, we were close to perfect. We beat every top team and did it in style. The second star will be remembered forever. And that's really what I'm leaning on, is the fact that it's such a historic Scudetto. It's not just another one. And we ranked the Scudetto wins. And we have this ranked pretty high as far as in our lifetime, because it is huge, especially considered that both Milan and Inter came into the season on 19. You know, it's just, you just pipped them to the second star, which again is a legacy kind of thing.
We beat them to the first star and now the second star.
Yeah.
We're going to beat him to the third star. We're just always going to beat them.
That's
Milan.
Given recent results, that's how it feels.
And now that Paulo Fonseca's there, I've got no worries.
I feel good. There's 2 hires that I've been a little bit higher on than everyone else. The Fonseca hire and this Maresca hire for Chelsea. I know people are shitting on it, but I think here's...
Stop.
I've talked about this before, but it's a betting system that I think would work every time. Anytime there is a head-to-head between an English manager and a foreign manager, bet on the foreign manager to beat the English manager. I don't want to give out gambling advice. Disclaimer, I'm not a gambler, but I have faith in a coach from Italy, grew up in the Italian style, won a lot as a player, even though he wasn't a big part of those teams. Johnny's shaking his head, but listen, that's how I feel. I have faith in Italian managers going abroad. I even think Pioli would do well in the Premier League. They just don't.
I am a better, and I'll tell you right now that betting on Chelsea is the worst thing you could do. Don't matter who the manager is.
But I'm not betting on Chelsea. Doesn't matter what foreign. I'm betting on the Italian coach. I'm betting on the Italian coach. You're betting
on the team that he has, which is an absolute joke of a squad. That team, they're going to just sign every left-footed winger and hope that they could play all 11 positions. That's literally the transfer policy at Chelsea. So Enzo Maresca is going to fail massively. I guarantee you. I guarantee they'll finish lower than six this year. Guaranteed.
Did you see the diss track from that Chelsea fan against Tom Boehly? That was embarrassing. I was crying.
And that's why I know Chelsea's a joke of a club.
I was crying.
You have people putting diss tracks out.
He was talking about buying young and then flipping the young players. It's like, first of all, they bought young, yes, but they bought young at such inflated prices. There's no flip to be had. There's no flip to be had.
If those players are sold, when they all flopped,
yeah,
like they're all going to be sold.
Those players are not going to be sold for. There's no recouping an investment there. But anyway, all right, let's talk a little bit about Lauti here. So situation is the same as what we talked about with Nima. Lauti's demands are considered excessive by Inter. Inter has a price that they can pay. You know, it just comes down to like, if they're going above and beyond for Lautaro, and it would be above and beyond if you look at that pay relative to the other players in the squad. If you look at it compared to like Vlahovic, which he definitely deserves to be paid in line with Vlahovic, as a club, you can't compensate players based off of other teams making essentially the mistake to overpay players, right? He's saying, I should be in line with this player. But in Inter's position, it's like, well, that player is way overpaid. We're willing to pay you what we think you deserve, not what someone else is making because they were overpaid. Am I reading that correctly? Is that how you view it too?
That's kind of how I view it for sure. So,
yeah. So here's the question. Like the turning on Lauti, it's not really turning on Lauti, but fans are starting to get more okay with the idea of him being sold, which is happening much quicker than I thought it was going to be. And I said it today, in a negotiation, one of the biggest pieces of leverage that you have is a deadline. That deadline, the Copa America, doesn't start until June 20th, I believe. So you have another 3 weeks of this. What is your read on what's going to happen with fan sentiment towards Lauti, even if he does end up re-signing and this goes all the way to the deadline? Is 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks enough time for Inter fans to get it in their head that, you know, fuck this guy. Like, let's move on from him. Is he playing a dangerous game by, even though it is, you've been in sales, I've been in sales, even though, like, playing the deadline is an important part of a negotiation. Do you think it's a misstep on his part because fans are going to react to each story that comes out over the next 20 days?
I definitely think it's a misplay on his part. I think that whoever is advising him, whether it's his agent, a manager, I don't know, family, to think that he is going to get that amount of money in these negotiations to be able to, I don't know. I don't understand what he's thinking, especially he should know the climate of finances in Serie A. He should understand that no team like Nima said last time on, no team can afford those high wages. I think that if he really does value his role at the club, the captain's armband, everything that he's really built in Milano, to do that and ask for that much money, I think it's a little reckless on his part, and I think it's a little selfish. You know, I mean, this club has given him so much. They've literally backed him in so many ways and really tried to build the squad around him to fit his needs, his growth, his play style, everything, to make him the best and most comfortable player he could possibly be. And now he's going to like almost throw a hiss. I'm not saying he's throwing a hissy fit, but have like issues with the offer that he has, and it's essentially over $2 million. Like, in the grand scheme of things, you're in Milan. Like, would you really, like, I don't know.
You've already won a World Cup. You've won Scudetti. The only thing missing is the Champions League. Do you feel like you can be here for the next 8 years and win a Champions League? Because I think that that's reasonable.
I think that's very realistic, especially with the squad that we have in place. I think that if he goes anywhere else, he's going to be just a number, just a player. He's not going to be it. He's not going to be the beacon of success, of hope, of everything. You know, like, he's just going to be another guy.
Do you think all the talk is real? Like, all of that I love Milano, that my family's here. Do you think that that's all real?
I think it's real. I just think.
So then how does he not resign?
If he does, I think the love for money is exceeding the love for Milano. That's what I think.
Listen,
I'm just speculating. I don't know any. Obviously, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know anything with Lautaro, but I think that he may think that this is his last chance at like a big payday. But I think when you look at it in world football, like 8-9 million net is a good chunk of change, and a lot better than what you'll be the highest paid player in Serie A. Like,
and
I mean,
if he does sign a 5-year contract, can you not see a 30 goal season out of this guy and then getting another big contract? Because I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility either, but I think that he's just, maybe he's not betting on himself to be able to be that guy, possibly. Who knows? And he feels like this is like the last one that he'll be able to get. That's the only thing I can think of.
I hate that his agent is Hakimi's agent, and that,
yeah,
you know, Hakimi did secure a big money move away from Inter. What clubs do you see potentially coming in for Lauti if he is on the market?
Paris, obviously, for the Hakimi connection. Mm-hmm. He already, the agent already is able to negotiate with them. If Mbappe leaves, they need a talisman. Yep. There you go.
Could Real be one of those things?
Real could be in on it too. I guess
it would be Rodrigo, Vini, Mbappe, Lautaro.
I don't think Mbappe wants to play out wide. I think he wants to be the main guy. Maybe it doesn't happen with them. I don't see Barcelona doing it just because they don't have the money. I don't see
Bayern's got Kane.
Bayern's not doing it. Man City have Haaland. You know, really, what
can United splash the cash?
Our Arsenal, like, they don't have a striker.
I would throw up.
If he left Inter for Arsenal, he's an idiot.
Bang 40 goals a season in that league without any.
I don't even think so. I don't think that they.
It's no defense.
I don't think they would cater to his play style though. That he'd have two wide guys who don't know how to cross in Martinelli and Saka. And he's not going to get the service. I think that he would go to the EPL, and I would be shocked if he scored more than 17 goals a year.
I think United is
another downgrade, though.
It's a downgrade, but it's a potential club that could use his services. How important would it be that if he goes on the market that you get rid of Thuram's release clause?
I don't think it's important because that's still a good chunk of change too.
I know, like, but forwards.
If you get almost 200 million for two forwards,
Yeah.
The what you can do. I mean, listen, it's not what I want to do, but like there's so much talent out there that you'd be able to potentially go and buy and not have to worry. 200 million.
You put out a poll. You put out a poll. You said Sesko, Gyökeres, and Goodmanson, I think.
No, I didn't say. I said Sesko, Gyökeres, Xerxes,
and Xerxes. And how is that poll going? And how do you? What? How would you play it?
If you're looking for just a finisher, I think Gyökeres is the better one. If you want more of a complete player, I think Sesko is the better one. Right now, though, Xerxes is in the lead with 31%. Gyökeres in second with 28%. Sesko with 24%. And other has gotten 17%. And the only two names I've seen really people write for other are... I just saw what one person said and I'm dumbfounded. But our Julian Alvarez and somebody said Jonathan David, and I actually told him to delete this because I would rather be relegated than honestly have Jonathan David at this club. Yeah, he's
Julian Alvarez is we should have gotten him.
We should have gotten him when we had the chance for 15 million. But
him and Enzo and
yeah,
Enzo.
Yeah. Actually, I think he would have been 30. Sorry, he would have been 30. Enzo would have been 15. But I don't see Xerxes being a realistic one, and I don't see him fitting the system. I think, listen, Gyökeres or Sesko, I'm very happy with. The only thing is, I think Sesko needs more time, and I don't know if we would have the patience for that. Or I think Inzaghi would baby him a lot, and it would make it harder for Thuram and more pressure on Thuram to be a finisher, which I don't think is fair. So I think Gyökeres would be the guy to go after if Lautaro's sold.
Yeah, and Alvarez is on a contract till 2028 with 6 million a year. €6 million.
Let's say we up that to 8 or the 9 that we, but I still think we would have to pay to Man City probably exactly whatever we got for Lautaro if we sold him.
Right. I don't think they're
going. He's not going cheap. Like people think, like, oh, but he might want to leave. He's going to go cheap. He's not going cheap.
Man City is not going to give you a cut for a younger player on potentially less wages.
Yeah.
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 All right. We'll see how this thing. We'll see how this thing plays out. We might have some news to announce about the pod shortly. Can't say anything yet.
Can't say anything yet.
We might have some news coming up shortly. Anything else that we should let the listeners know about?
For those of you that did send your sizes and everything for the jerseys, thank you. Appreciate it. We've got a pretty decent number. Still a little short of what we would need to be able to place the order, because they do have a minimum of 20. We're at like 15 right now, so
okay, we need some
anyone
more
is interested, again, just comment on that post. I'll obviously mention it another time on here. I definitely want to get him, and you know what, if we have to eat the bullet to get five, maybe we just get five blank ones or something, and those can be, I don't know, for our family or something if we want to.
Should we pull an Inter and Lautaro and set a deadline on this thing? Let's see who breaks first, us or the fans.
What if that blows up in our face? You know,
it's very possible that it does.
Very possible. It's, I don't know if I want to do that. But now, like, I'll double check it again. Maybe I missed some too along the way. Like they've been messaging me and then messaging the podcast Twitter. So it's like I'm all over the place.
We got to filter through.
I wrote them all down. But maybe I missed one along the way. So,
this is your call to send it in.
I saw a mock up of another jersey, not ours. And the way the fabric looks, and the way the stitching looks on everything, and the logos look, and the crest, I'm like, yo, these will be so sick if we are able to get these done. Like, yeah. So sick. Like, yeah, I don't think you understand how excited I am for this.
It's not. I mean, it's nice podcast merch, you know. And there's some good stuff out there. I mean, Sharma has great shirts. Inter Worldwide put out some good shirts. We would like this to be our second star merch that we can have the fans get in on. So
I know we're later than Sharma and Inter Worldwide, but yeah. Listen, to steal a quote from Steve Jobs, we may not be the first players in the game, but we're the best players in the game.
Wow!
So
there you go.
I'm pretty pumped about the way these look. I'm not taking shots at the way their shirts came out. I'm just saying I'm pumped about the way these jerseys look, man.
It's a different shirt. It's a different.
It's a jersey. It's not even a shirt. It's a jersey. Yeah. Like, yeah,
yeah. It's going all in. You can wear it all when you're in. playing you, footy exactly. with your boys.
Nico Bukutsi said he's gonna wear it when he plays. I mean.
Yeah.
And I always see him posting videos of him kicking the ball around. So, yeah, I mean, that'll be pretty awesome.
Yeah. And some people, when they get jerseys, they don't want to put their name on it because, you know, they're not part of the team. But you guys are part of the Interviews podcast team.
So you are more than able to put your name. I'm putting my name on it. Like,
me too.
It's not going to be it's not cheesy at all to me. Like, this is not, it's not an Inter kit. It's just, it's our kit.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
And who knows, maybe we get a match organized, something where we go up against the AJC and we just smoke those losers.
I would fucking love that. They're playing Allegri ball, right?
Oh yeah, they're 100% playing Allegri ball. have you seen Daniel Lucci? There's no way that guy's doing anything.
The one I'd be worried about is Dybala. She could play.
I've never seen. I see her say she plays. I don't know if she actually can play.
I believe her.
Lucci, I believe actually. Lucci is a player, so I'm teasing him. But I think that guy would be trouble.
Let's go
between you, Antonio Micheli. I mean, Nico. I've seen. Listen,
Sharma. I've seen some highlights of Sharma. I've seen some
Yeah, Sharma. Yeah.
A little Çalhanoğlu back there.
That's it, bro.
He could ping the ball across the pitch.
Nima could be the cheerleader. I don't know if I want him kicking.
Yeah, he would have to be in upper management.
Yeah, yeah, he could be our Beppe, I guess.
Oh my god! All right, let's wrap it up in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini: Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.